Good to be here, good to be with you. In just a moment, we're going to read God's Word together as we find it in the book of Colossians in chapter 1. We're going to read from verses 21 through to the end of the chapter, verse 29. Before lockdown meant that it was impossible for us to worship together, we had been thinking about who we would be as the people of God here at Carnmoney. We've been thinking about our vision strategy and some aspects of that, and it's now collated in a booklet called All In. And those were the key words, weren't they, that we were thinking about? All in, and then we all had to get out. And maybe it's not by accident that God is recalibrating us and resetting the, you know, restoring the factory settings, thinking about what does it mean? Who are we as the people of God? And that booklet is available. You'll be able to get your hands on it soon if you haven't already got a copy. And there are details about who we want to become as the people of God. And I'd encourage you to get a copy of that. We'll make it available to you. But we're going to read just now from Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 21. This is the Word of God. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation if you continue in your faith established and firm and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that's been proclaimed to every creature under heaven and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. We end there, giving thanks to God for his word and how he speaks to us today. So all in, just before we had to get all out, we were thinking about all in. And there were three aspects that you might remember of our ambition, our longing, our desire, who we would become at Carnmoney as the people of God. Who is it that we believe that God was calling us to be? What should be the focus of our life together? You'll maybe remember some of these key words or phrases that we were thinking about, and we're going to think about them over the next couple of weeks. Going deeper as disciples, growing closer as family, and then reaching wider in witness. I wonder if they were Netflix TV programs, which one would you watch first? Going deeper as disciples, growing closer as family, or reaching wider in witness. If they were seminars at a Christian conference and you had to sign up for one, which one would you sign up for? Which one would you really desperately want to be at? Which one would you think, oh, that's not for me? Going deeper as disciples, that sounds a bit booky, a bit nerdy, a bit like study, a bit like hard work, but it's all just like intellectual stuff. And I want to get my hands dirty. I want to serve. I want to do things. Or maybe you think, see, that growing closer as a family one, that's not for me. They'd probably make you hold hands or something like that, you know, especially you wouldn't want to be doing it now. Or maybe you think, reaching wider and witness, I'd be nervous about that. I don't like talking about my faith, and I'm not confident enough, and I don't know what to say. And you would think, well, there's things in here that reveal our bias, that reveal what our priorities are and who we are as individuals. And yet God has brought us together. And even if we were to take a survey of the people in this room, we would discover that you have different priorities. There would be things that you would be most afraid of. There would be things that you'd be most eager to do. And we're different. And yet God has brought us together. Just like John was saying last week, you need me and I need you. We need all of these elements, each of these three elements, if we're going to be church. And so over the next three Sundays, starting today, we're going to think about these aspects of church life and what it means. What it means to go deep as a disciple. What does it mean to grow close as family? What does it mean to reach wider in the world? How can we be a church that develops in these areas and aspects of life? What is it like for you and me to become fully mature? You know, I have bias too. I have emphasis too. I have specific fears too. So I understand that there might be some of these things you think, well, that's not really for me. But that's not what we're saying here. We're saying all of these things are for everyone. And so we'll think today about discipleship. Why deeper as disciples? Why? Paul the Apostle, in the book of Colossians, shares his ambition. He shares his ministry ambition for the people of Colossae. Him we proclaim, talking about Jesus, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone perfect or fully mature in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy which so powerfully works in me. In a region where there were false teachers peddling ideas saying, if you want special wisdom, if you want particular knowledge, if you want power that is only available to a few people, then pay me and I will tell you how to get it. There are rituals and routines and festivals that you can attend and practices that you can participate in that will make you extra wise, extra strong, extra knowledgeable, but it's not for everyone. If you just give me some money, then I will help you to grow. I will help you to develop. And so into that context, Paul repeatedly uses the word everyone to help the people there know that the false teachers are peddling lies, and maturity comes through knowing Jesus. You'll notice that he used the word everyone a lot, admonishing and teaching everyone so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ or mature in Christ. Discipleship is for everyone. Growing to maturity is for everyone. Jesus is for everyone. That's what Paul's saying here in the book of Colossians. Because deep down we know that it doesn't really matter how many burpees we can do in the gym or what our bank balance is or what our position is on the organizational chart or what our postcode is or what school our kids go to. Or even if our team wins the league for the first time in 30 years. Don't really matter, right? I can't believe I'm actually saying that, but I am. It doesn't matter how many likes our Instagram post got or how cute our dog is or any of these things that we chase after or run after or pursue. Ultimately, even if all our dreams come true, we're still disappointed. We're still dissatisfied. There's a universal dissatisfaction that will not go away even when the things that we chase after become ours. Everyone complains. You know, the people whose lives that you are jealous of right now are moaning about things in their lives. Pascal says this about the universal dissatisfaction and how it should convince us of our inability to reach the good by our own efforts. Paul is convinced that no matter how outwardly impressive or powerful or awe-inspiring other people are, they are not enough. They still need to hear about Jesus. Paul is saying to the Colossians, see those false teachers who appear to know it all? They don't, because they're peddling something apart from Jesus, and Jesus is all you need. You don't need more than Jesus. You simply need more of Jesus. That's how you mature. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy that works so powerfully in me. Him we proclaim. Over and over and over again, Paul is talking about Jesus. In chapter 2, Paul begins to explain to them what Jesus has done for them in detail, and he says, he forgave us all our sins having cancelled the written code that was against us and stood opposed to us, Jesus took it away, nailing it to the cross. No one else has done that for you. No one else has taken your sin and nailed it to the cross. I was driving in my car this week, and a memory came into my mind of something that I had done that I was really ashamed of. I just felt so terrible. An action in my past, a thing that I did, I thought, I can't believe I did that. And this accusation came to me about an action that I'd done, and I felt horrible. I felt ashamed. I felt embarrassed. And I read these words, "He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code that was against us and stood opposed to us. Jesus took it away, nailing it to the cross." What is it that's accusing you this morning? What past action? What current habitual sin? What thing is it that makes you feel ashamed? Only Jesus takes it to the cross. And Paul was making it clear that discipleship is for everyone, because no matter what your position is on the organizational chart, no matter what the scales say when you step on them, no matter how popular or funny you are, you still feel your own weakness and failure and sorrow over how you've lived, and nothing you can do can make up for it. Nothing you can do can cleanse your own sin. Paul was making it clear that discipleship is for everyone, not just an elite group, not just a particular group of people who have special knowledge or wisdom or insight or power, not just those with a Jewish background, not just the false teachers. The wisdom of God and the power of God and the life that God has is available to everyone who trusts in Jesus. The only hope for the Colossians and for us is to trust in him, to place our hope in him. And so Paul says, "We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect or fully mature in Christ." Paul's ambition was to invite everyone to follow Jesus, to be discipled by Jesus. It's not okay to go through life, you know, just patting yourself on the back because you did better than your big brother or your big sister. Patting yourself on the back because you did better than your friend or your work colleague or your neighbor, or you proved your parents wrong, or you proved your teacher wrong who said you'd never amount to anything, and you think, yeah, well, actually, look at me now, look what I've done, and it doesn't count. You will not silence the voice inside of you that cries for acceptance, because it's not actually your teacher's acceptance that you want. It's not actually your big sister's acceptance that you want, or your parents' acceptance that you want, or your boss's acceptance that you want. You want the acceptance and the approval of God. Every single human being has that inside of them, a desire for acceptance from God. And Jesus gives that to us because he cancels the written code that is against us. We like to prove ourselves. We like to distinguish ourselves and set ourselves apart and say, well, I know I'm bad, but I'm not as bad as him. Or I'm not as bad as her. And did you hear what he said? Or did you hear what he did? And we divide ourselves. And it doesn't matter, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I read this week about an Australian bishop, Bishop John Green of Sydney. And he tells a story about working with a group of young guys. Some of them were of Aboriginal descent and some of them of English descent. And there was incredible racial tension. He's trying to work with these guys to try and bring some reconciliation among them. And one day as he was driving the bus, these boys were getting pretty heated in discussion and things were about to spiral out of control. A fight was about to break out in the bus. He stopped the bus. He got them off the bus and he lined them up, alternate, English descent, Aboriginal descent. And he said, "You're not black or white. I want you to repeat after me, 'I am green,' and go and sit in the bus." And so they said, "I'm green, I'm green, I'm green." And they went and sat in the bus in stony silence, all mixed in among each other, stony silence, as the bus drove for about 15 minutes. He says he wasn't that far down the road. And one of the little boys says, "Light green this side, dark green the other side." See, we want to divide. We find ways to say them and us, them and us, them and us. We might know a little bit about that in Northern Ireland. them and us. And Paul says discipleship is for everyone. We believe that it's possible here in Carmony Church for everyone to grow to maturity in Jesus Christ. The impulse to divide and to compete and to elevate ourselves is really deep. It's relentless. But ultimately, it's of no value at all. Trying to prove yourself over and against another human being will not satisfy. Everyone of every color, of every political background and economic background needs Jesus to cancel the written code that is against them. He nailed our sins to the cross. No one else did it. That's why discipleship matters to him. And that's why it's important for us. That's why we believe going deeper as disciples is important for everyone. Not just a special elite, not just for the Christian SAS. This is for everyone to engage in following Jesus. No one else can forgive you. That's why it's important. And you say, right, very good, but how? How am I going to go deep as a disciple? Are you going to give me a stack of books to read? Are you going to enroll me in a load of courses? I'm like, that might be helpful to read some stuff. It might be helpful to do a course, but that is not it. Having knowledge up here, going to Bible college will not make you a disciple. Having a theological education will not make you a disciple. What does it look like to go deep as a disciple of Jesus Christ? Over the last 2 weeks, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, in our house, Robbie, our youngest son, was opening a cupboard door and he was rummaging about for something. I happened to say to him, "What are you looking for?" And he'd been out in the street on his bike with his brother James, and he said, "I'm looking for a blindfold." And I said, "Right, okay, what do you want the blindfold for? You know, one of those ones that you put on an airplane if you want to go to sleep." And he said, "I'm going to do the jump on my bike blindfolded." I said, "No, you're not. No, you're not." And I poured the cold water on his plans. He was deeply disappointed, but it was a foolish course of action, and he needed the wisdom of his father to say, "Do not go there. Do not do this. It's dangerous." He'd conjured up this idea in his head. He thought, "This is a really good idea." And left to his own devices, it would have been disastrous. I disappointed him, but it was for his own good. Going deeper as disciples will mean us going to God and saying, "Here's what I'm going to do, God." And God might say to you, no, you're not. Say, "Hey, Jesus, I had this great idea." And Jesus is going, "Really? That's dangerous. It's not good for you. Will you allow Jesus to disappoint you, to lead you in a path that you did not want to go? Do you believe that Jesus knows best the way you should live your life?" As we listen to his correction and follow his ways, we will become mature. We will grow. We will begin to think like Jesus. We will allow his mind to become our mind. I've told you before about being a university student and going away on a residential. On a Friday night, I heard a talk from Romans 12. On a Saturday morning, I heard a talk from Romans 12. On a Saturday night, I heard a talk from Romans 12. On a Sunday afternoon, I heard a talk from Romans 12. And a few of us decided to go to church on Sunday night. We went to Burnside Presbyterian, and Richard Gregg, the minister, opened the Bible and said, "Tonight's reading is from Romans 12. I'm like, "I think I've heard this before." God was saying, not just to me, but to those of us who were present, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world." Don't conform. Offer your whole life to him. Let your mind be renewed. In view of God's mercy, in view of what Jesus Christ has done for you, let your mind be renewed. Don't conform to the pattern of this world. Your thinking is wrong. Let it be made new by Jesus Christ. Be transformed. Being a Christian is acknowledging that you've got it wrong. Being a disciple is acknowledging that you have a wrong view of things. Christians are so quick to admit they're wrong, aren't they? Isn't that what we're renowned for? In your workplace, in your family, in society, all those Christians, they're always the first to hold their hands up and say, I was wrong. I made a mistake. My view was wrong on that." Are we renowned for being first to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. That should be our regular confession, because we should be going before God regularly and saying, Lord, I don't know what way to go. I need you to lead me. Left to my own devices, I will go on a dangerous path. Left to my own devices, I will make foolish choices. Lead me. Guide me. Save me from myself. Let your word be a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. You know, like Mary says when the angel comes to her and tells her that she's going to give birth, even though she's a virgin. She's going to give birth to the very Son of God. It's going to be Jesus, the Savior of the world, who's going to be born of her womb. And she says, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me according to your word. When was the last time you went to God and said, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I got it wrong. I'm sorry for my wrong thinking about that person or that situation. When was the last time you went to God and said to him, I allow you to interrupt my plans. I invite you to disrupt my way forward. See, discipleship is not just about having all this knowledge. It's about putting it into practice. It's about discovering as you read Scripture that God really is as faithful as you find him to be in that word, and placing your whole life at his disposal and saying, I trust you because I've seen that you're faithful, and I want your Holy Spirit to empower me to do what I find difficult to do right now. See, if you begin to read Mark's Gospel tomorrow and just read a chapter a day, by Tuesday the 25th of August, you'll have read the entire book of Mark's Gospel. You'll be reading the life of Jesus, of this person that you profess to follow, and your confidence in him will grow. Your confidence in yourself might be diminished as you see human beings doing foolish things, and you say to yourself, I belong to that group. I'm one of those foolish human beings, but Jesus, he's incredible. Why don't you join with me? I plan to do that over the next 16 days. Read Mark's Gospel and ask for God to help me have more confidence in Jesus and less confidence in myself. Just as we come to a close this morning, I want to share with you a paragraph that I read in a book over lockdown that was really helpful to me. Found it super encouraging. It was also challenging, but it was really, really liberating. And I want to share it with you. It ministered to me. And maybe today you're here, you're stuck in a little bit of a rut. Maybe you're stuck in a situation you can't see a way out of, or you're feeling like you're at a dead end. I hope that this paragraph ministers to you in the way that it spoke to me. God wants to take us where we're helpless without him. Is your faith self-defined? Have you made yourself what you are, or are you living proof of what God can do? If you've gone no further than your own legs can carry you, and see no more than your own eyes can show you, and tested no more than your own thoughts can convey to you, you are lost. No wonder you don't live fully for God. You have no meaning beyond yourself. May the Holy Spirit lead you into some private room today to wait and repent and look to Christ alone, because authentic Christianity is miracle, not management. May you give up on yourself and delight in serving Christ as all the Savior you need. He will fill your life with meaning, and you will make a difference for his glory in the world today. You see, I believe that the very thing that you wish was gone from your life, the very situation that you wish you didn't have to deal with, that thing that is out of your control and you want to manage, this is the area where God is saying, trust Jesus in this. Let Jesus lead you through this. This thing that is beyond your ability, and you think, I could be a disciple or a follower of Jesus if my work situation was better, if my financial situation was more secure, if my marriage was in a better place, if the kids were speaking to me, if I was being acknowledged in my friendships, if the thing that was not in place was put back in place, then I could follow Jesus. And Jesus is saying, see, this area that is not exactly as you want it to be, I want you to trust me with that. I want you to follow me in that. I want you to stop trying to manage your life for yourself. Christianity is miracle, not management. Let God use you in this moment to display his glory in your weakness. Him we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. It was never about your strength. It was never about your competency. It was never about your mind or your intellect or your achievements. It's always about his power so clearly and deeply at work in you as you surrender control, surrender management, and pray that God would let you become the miracle that he intends you to be, that he would transform your mind. That is what it means to go deep as a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's not just for the brainiacs. It's not an intellectual exercise. It's saying, let it be to me according to your word. It's saying, open my eyes to see things as you do. Lead me in the way that you would want me to go. Let your word be a lamp unto my feet and a light onto my path. Why don't you begin reading Mark's gospel tomorrow as a way of saying, God, speak to me. Take the blindfold off and help me not to walk into danger. Help me to walk the way you want me to walk. Why don't you open your Bible tomorrow and begin reading a chapter a day, and you'll be through it before the end of August.